Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf ayin vav. We're holding the fourth line from the top of the Amud. You'll recall that we learned yesterday in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, we have that slogan, that expression brought in the Gemara of Kiboylai Kach Poltai. Based on that, the Gemara says that when you're kashering a kli, the kashering has to be in line and in sync with the way the kli became treif or became required for kashering. So, for instance, the pasuk says, "Kol dovar sheyovoy ba'esh," any type of food utensil which is used in fire, such as we said yesterday, a spit or a grill, "tavir ba'esh v'toher." What you have to do is go and kasher it in fire. You take a blowtorch. Ach b'meini d'yischat, you have to go and toivel it. Anything that does not go in the fire, in other words, you're talking about a pot, a pan, cutlery, and the like, which are not in fire itself. Tavir b'moy, all you have to do is do hag'ola with hot water. The Gemara is going to discuss that at greater length. Zok the Gemara, Rav Amram, Romile, Rav Amram, Rav Sheshes. Rav Amram asked Rav Sheshes the following shayla. L'choira, we have a stira between our Mishnah and a Mishnah in Seder Kudishim. What is the stira? In our Mishnah it says, Tanan hashbudim v'askalim l'abnon be'or. Shbudim is a spit, askal is a grill that you use in fire, so you have to go and do liban with fire. Okay, very straightforward. But Tanan, but we have another Mishnah. It's not a Tanya, it's what Tanan, Gabi Kudishim. What does it say? It's a Mishnah Mesechtes Zvachim, which we're going to start on Amir Tashem in a couple of weeks. What does it say in the Mishnah? Hashpud v'askalo. Oh, the very same case. A spit, mit an askalo, mit a grill. Magilon. An argument is magilon v'chamen. But l'choyre, there's a better gear set. Leave out the word v'chamen. We know what magilon means. It means hagola. You use hot water to go and kasha them. So don't you have a stira? Here you say you have to do it in fire. And there it says a spit and a grill. You can use regular hot water. So what's going on? Amalei. So now Rav Sheshes responds to Rav Amram. And he says, Amram bari. How can you compare? You're comparing apples and oranges. When you're talking about kodshim, it's b'leia heter. Now, what's the reason why you need this magilon in the first place with kodshim? So you all know.
No, sir.
Okay, so what you're really doing is saying the same thing after the period of lina, then it becomes nicer. That you have to go and typically your average carbon you have to go and eat yom v'layla, and what does that mean? That you have to, you can eat it that particular day, you can eat it that night, min ha-toyr, you can go and eat it until aloysa shachar in the morning, but we learned in the first Mishnah Masechtet
brachos,
so they said that you can only eat it until chatzos. And then what happens after chatzos? After chatzos, nothing happens. But in the morning, after Lois HaShachar, if it was not consumed, anything which is left over is now noiser. Ay, ay, ay. That's not only noiser, the carbon itself, but any blios of the carbon. So now when you have your shpud and your askala, if you grilled your carbon, chatzos, your carbon osham, whatever it was for the kohanim, or if you're talking about kochim kalim, and you had the chaz of a shoik for the kahanim, so you used the shpud and the askala for roasting these karbanois. So after the final zman that you're allowed to go and eat it, and then until the morning typically, then you'd have a din of noisim. Okay, so therefore, every one of these things, when it was boileya, it was a bleya adover heter. There was nothing wrong with this chatas, this osham, this chaz of a shoik. Everything was wonderful. Subsequently, because of the passage of time, you cannot go and eat a spit, you can't eat a grill. So by definition, those blios will become noiser after the time of eating has ended for that particular carbon. So since it was boileya heter, you only need hak'ola. However, if you're talking about a dvar iser, you're talking about chazarai, you're talking about basar b'cholov, talking about nevela, treifa, anything which in its ikr, in its yesoid, you're not allowed to go and eat its iser, so it's boileya iser. Oh, this is much worse. Since it's much worse, you have to have liban. That was the teretz that Rav Sheshes gave to Rav Amram.
I think they also say, right, just before it's become, if you have basar and then you have challah.
Mm-hmm. Each are heter.
Each
very good. Okay, so maybe taka, according to this teret, maybe that would also be considered to be heterabala. Probably not, because bottom line is, what's the reason why you have to kasher it? Because you have that merging of the fleshiks and the milchiks inside, and that about is bar isa. Here we're talking about kudishim, where it's the best carbon, the shenster carbon, achatas anoshim, akashlomim, whatever it was, beautiful, beautiful carbon. Unfortunately, if it's not unfortunate, that's the gzeris akosiv, that beyond these manachil, after that it becomes nicer. So the carbon you made sure to go and eat in its proper time. But that doesn't stop the bliois from bleeing, from blossoming and flourishing inside the kalim, like the shpun liaskar. Therefore you have to go and kasher it. But since it was heteir bala, you don't need that highest form of kashering in the form of libun. It's enough to do hagola. That was the teretz of Rav Sheshes. Omer Rava. Rava was not happy with this teretz, and he says, soif soif, ki kapolet isura kapolet. Do I really care about how it was boilea? I'm more concerned about how it's poilet. Meaning that subsequently I'm going to use this spit v'askala once again, and it has in it at this time isur. What's the isur? The isur no isur. If I'm going to go now and cook another carbon on this shbud or askala, so then it's going to be poilet, meaning that the earlier bliois are now going to be unleashed and enter into the new carbon. Now it's isur. So yes, originally in Taki Arayit was heter, but now it's isur. What difference does it make? So therefore, Rava doesn't like this teretz of Rav Sheshes. Elam Rava, therefore Rava says another pshat. Hai agolanami shtifa umarika. Vos meintes. What Rava is saying is that li oilam, both the case of is it this teretz or the next teretz? Fadalim boy kishar bli asisa mitzvah melech. Okay, so way Rashi learns pshat in this Rava is that avada, both in our case of dvorim asurim, like our Mishnah, as well as the case in Masechtas Kudishim, both of them require libun. Libun meaning, if it was davash yovi ba'esh, taviru ba'esh. If you're talking about your spit or your grill, make sure you take out your blowtorch and you fire it up and you eradicate and eliminate any potential bliyah. And that applies even by kachim, even the base of Mikdash. In that mission that you quoted, it says, magilon, says the Gemara, it doesn't mean hagola in the traditional sense of you go and take a small pot, which became treif, and you put it into a large pot, etc. But rather we're talking about shtifa umarika. What means shtifa umarika? It says in the Pasik, umoyrak v'shutaf b'moyim. What does shtifa and marika really mean? So it's a machloikis in zvachim. We'll get to it in Yat Hashem. Either it means that you have to scour it with hot water and then rinse it out with hot water, or it means that you apply both cold water and hot water to go and rinse it out and to go and refresh in this clean. Now this shtifa marika, or really marika shtifa, moirik v'shutav amoyim, this goes in addition to the liban. And so therefore, the way Rav is explaining pshat is, in our Mishnah, when it tells shpud v'askala magilon, in our Mishnah it says, shpud v'askala malamnan b'ur, this applies universally. Not only in our Mishnah, but also to kodshim. That it says in the Mishnah in kodshim, that you have to do magilon, that doesn't mean hagola in the traditional sense of putting a smaller pot into a bigger pot, or in this case, you'd put the spit into a large pot. No. It means that in addition to the liban, you also have to do this mariku shtifa, shtifa marika, that you have to go and scour it with hot water, and that's in addition. Rashi says, what do you need both of them for? Says Rashi, it's a gzeris akosif, no different than other gzeris akosif that we have. For instance, Rashi brings, says that if the koyin god, not koyin god, any koyin's big day kahuna got spritzed with some chatos blood, the halacha is you have to have kibbutz b'mokim kodesh. You can't go and send it to your Chinese laundromat somewhere. You have to go and do the kibbutz in the Azora itself. Similarly, if you have a klicheres that has in it noiser, you can't get the noiser out of the klicheres because you can't be moitzi midoifio li oilam. So you have to go and break it. You break it b'mokim kodesh. Again, all of this is, these are gzeiros akosim. Therefore, says Rashi, in addition to the liban, which is required to kasher, you also have to do a separate Marika Ushtifa. Ah, so that being the case, Zokti Gemara, no more stira. Omle Abaya. Abaya says, Rova, this is a beautiful pshat, but it doesn't shtim. Why doesn't it shtim? Midomi, can you really compare? Marika Ushtifa is betzoinan. Hagola is bechamin. Hagola has to be bechamin according to everybody. That's how you do Hagola, with really boiling hot water. Again, it's a machloikis in Zvachim exactly what Marika and Shtifa is. Both of them mean the scouring and cleansing of the kli. And this Gemara is going according to the Mandiyama that holds Betzayin is enough. You don't have to do it with hot water. So how can you go and say that Hagola means Marika Ushtifa when Hagola by definition means Bechamen? With this we understand a little bit better Rava's Pshat, because if you take out the word Bechamen that we had up above, and it just says Shbud Va'askla Magilon, so Rava apparently holds that the word Hagola can of course refer to hot water, like it refers to an Ar Gemara. However, missing the word Bechamen, if it just says Magilon, he holds that Magilon also means to cleanse it and kasher it. And how do you do that? Mit Marika Ushtifa, which according to Rava's Teretz is in addition to the Liban. But if it says Magilin Bechamin, it's taka bisl shver to go and say it means Marika Shtifa Betzoin, and that's a bias kasha on Rava. Hagola by definition means Bechamin. Even if you leave out the word Bechamin, Hagola suggests that we're talking about Chamin. So anyway, Abaya rejects that teret, and Elam Rabbi, and therefore Rabbi has a brand new teret. Yagid Olav Reya. Yagid Olav Reya is a pasuk in Eoiv, and the Gemara uses it from time to time to say that not always did Rebbe in his Mishnayos spill out everything, but rather sometimes he gave a couple of halachas here and a couple of halachas there, and you learn one from the other. Tana hacha liban vuadin la'agola. Tana hasam ha'agola vuadin li'liban. What Abai is telling us is that in fact you have to do both. And our Mishnah tells you liban. What about ha'agola? Well, look up Zvachim, you find out Hagol over there. So Yagad Olav Reyoi. The friend will tell us what else you have to do besides the Liban. And when you get to Masech the Zvachim, and you're going to learn about Hagola, what about Liban? You need Liban from our Mishnah. So in fact, each time, according to Abai, you're going to have to do both Liban and Hagola. Rashi adds that Abai subscribes to this din of Shtifa Marika that we had of Rava, and he says that when it comes to Kodshim, you're going to have to do all three. So by uns, regular Geulei, Nochrim, regular Tarfis, Nevelis, whatever, Isurim, you only have to do, you have to Liban plus Hagol. Liban plus Hagol. When it comes to Kodshim, you're going to have to do all three. You're going to have the Liban, the Hagola, and the Marika Shtifa as well. So that's the Yagdol Breya, Tanahocha Liban, Vu Adin Hagola, both. Tanahasim Hagala within the Liban, both. In addition to that, Rava's halacha of the Shtifa Marika, Abaya agrees with that.
Is there an order?
There probably is, but our Gemara doesn't address it. Omele Rava, so Rava says, Yehachi, listeninu lekulu bechoda, velisni choda beida chachriti, velema yagid olav reyai. Rava says that this expression, yagid olav reyai, I agree with 100%. However, you wouldn't have a situation where you have one over here and one over there, and then say, well, why didn't it say both? Because Yagra of Reyoi. One here in Mesechtes of Zara, but import from Zvachim the other halacha of Hagola. And in Mesechtes Zvachim, it only talks about Hagola, and import the case of Liban, the halacha of Liban from Avodah Zara. Says Rava, that's not the way you normally have a Yagid Olav Reyoi. Rather, what you would have, says Rava, you would have Rabbeinu HaKadosh putting all the halachas in one place. In other words, in our Mishnah, for instance, saying both Hagola and Liban, v'lisni choda bi'idach, and then in Zvachim, you'd only have one of the two, Hagola, and the word achriti l'chori is unnecessary, v'lisni choda idach achriti, v'lei me'yagad avreyoi, and then you'll say, hey, how come over here in our Mishnah it has both Hagola and Liban, and over there it only has Hagola? Oh, it's to go and tell you, we whet your appetite by telling you about Hagola. Don't forget also Liban, and you learn that from Avodah Zarah. That's how your Yagad Olav Reyoi would typically work. But rather to have one here and one there and learn one from the other, that's not the way Rabbeinu HaKadosh structured his Mishnayos. That being the case, Rava now rejects Abayis Pshat. So Vaita, we're stuck with the same stira. Ela marava kodshim hainu tamayu. I'll tell you the reason why. Kirav Nachman amara baravua di omar kol yoim v'yoim nasa giul lecha veiroi. Ah, says, Rav, I have a brand new pshat. What's my brand new pshat? I go and cook together today a korban. When I say cook, we're really roasting on the spit, but you understand what we mean. You are roasting on it, for instance, a korban chatas. Korban chatas, we know, is liyoim v'layla. When will it become noiser? Only the next morning. Ah, so what happens now? So what we're going to do is, we're going to go and cook a korban shlomim, and use that same spit for the korban shlomim, and the korban shlomim then will take in the blia of the noiser. However, because of the fact that the shlomim can be eaten for 2 days and one night, then we're going to have a longer period of time, and then when you cook the new korban on that same spit, then it's going to, at that time, act as a giul lechaveray. What the Gemara means to say is, even though when we think of the liban by a spit and or by a grill, how do you go and kasher them? Today, all of the hashkochos, they all use these blow torches to go and kill and eradicate any blios which happen to be in the two through that fire of the blowtorch. What he's saying is, no, I have a new way of doing it. Just reuse that same spit for a new carbon. And make sure that you do that carbon prior to the old blios becoming noiser. They're going to be poilate. They're going to extract the old blios, and they will replace them with new blios, the new blios of the new carbon. But since that new carbon is going to be for a more extended period of time, then you won't have to worry about the noiser. So now, what we're going to have to try to do is fashion a situation where the new carbon that you're using on the same spit is going to be used prior to the old blios becoming noiser yet. And therefore, I'm sorry?
That's quite a housekeeping chore.
All right, today Mark is going to talk about that housekeeping chore. Every single day when you bring a carbon, the new carbon causes the noiser of the old carbon, not really the noiser yet, the almost noiser, to go and be niflat. Gil means, of course, to go and kasher it. So you don't have to do your formal kashering with your blowtorch. Just the bringing of the new carbon, betoich zman of the first carbon, that will affect that gil, meaning that libun, and therefore we will eradicate the bliois even without having to go and use a blowtorch, but rather by using the new carbon on the same spit. So let's see the cheshbon, right? So that's what Rav Nachman said. Kol yom yom, gil lechaver. So tomorrow, teinuch shlomim. I can understand if I'm bringing today is a Tuesday, I'm bringing my carbon shlomim today, the kim lishne yomim, misachli, since you can go and eat it for 2 days, in other words, today, tonight, and tomorrow, mekami dehevi noiser, kohavi gil. Make sure that this spit is used, for instance, sometime tomorrow, or even today. Make sure that you use it before it becomes noiser. Now, when we mean before it becomes noiser, it means before the shlomim, and derivatively, the bliois inside the spit. When will they become noiser? They're going to become noiser the morning of the third day. So, for instance, today is Tuesday. You can, if you brought a carbon today in the base of Mikdash, halavai b'mehira, then that shlomim would be kosher today. It would be kosher tonight. It will be kosher tomorrow until Shki or Tzeitzer Kechavim time. And then make sure that, for instance, tomorrow, if you're going to bring l'moshel a carbon chatos, that karm chatzis you're using on the spit before the bliois of the shlomim became noiser. And what's going to happen is they're going to do the gil, they're going to purge any potential bliois from the shlomim prior to their becoming noiser. Oh, and therefore you won't have to worry about that you're going to have to kasher the shpud and the askla, because each karmen has already been misakeh and already kashered the bliois of the previous carbon. That works very well if you're talking about a shlomim. Since shlomim yom v'layla echad, then just bring the new carbon tomorrow prior to nightfall, which is of course what you would do anyway. And therefore, if you bring the mashal karbon chatzis tomorrow, you're going to do a gil of the old bliyos before they've become noiser, and then you'll have brand new bliyos of the chatzos inside that spit, and that'll be the next day's headache. So at least as far as the shlomim is concerned, we've done an effective gil, no problem in terms of having to go and do a libun on this spit, because the new carbon has already effected that. Okay, so now I understand why that Mishnah doesn't require libun. Rashi points out that the Gemara is going to ask shortly, if this is such an effective way of kashering the spit by using it a second time, then you shouldn't even need hagala. So why did it say in the Mishnah over there that magilan? You're telling me that the reuse of that spit by a new carbon is going to cause the plita of the bliyos of the previous carbon. So just like you don't need libun, you shouldn't need hagala either. So Gemara is going to discuss that shortly. I'm sorry?
You did not become a suhaso, you still was kosher.
Exactly right. So there was never an isser over here that I have to go on kasher, because it was still kosher bliyos at the time of the gil. Exactly correct.
That's the problem with the yantar following the Shabbos.
Okay, well, you wouldn't even have to go that far. So look to Nochman. Tainach Shlom. Shlom is a very good pshat that you said in the name of Nachman. Kiv Sheyom Mesachli. Become Dabbe Noisi before it becomes Noiser on the third day. That would be on Thursday morning, because you can eat the carbon today, Tuesday night, and on Wednesday. Wednesday night you can't eat it anymore, but it only gets the status of Noiser in the morning. Okay, so fine. So Thursday morning, you're right. We have so much period of time between the Shlom that's brought today until it becomes Noiser. And in between you can bring other kabbanis, and the other kabbanis are going to effect a kashering, not a kashering, but a purge of the bliyos. Alechatos, kim liyoyim v'layla mesachlo. Let's say you bring the korban chatos today. That korban chatos today you can only eat during the day today, and you can eat it tonight. What happens is that spit by tomorrow morning is now going to be full of bliyos of noisar. And therefore, chatos kim liyoyim v'layla mesachlo. Kim mevashel boho idna chatos. When you're going to go and cook today a chatos in it, have a noisar. The Gemara is assuming at this point that any carbon that I'm bringing today on this spit, the next time I'm going to use this spit is going to be tomorrow. And if it's going to be tomorrow, what happens if today I didn't bring a carbon shlomim? We brought a carbon chatos, a carbon asham, all of those kabanas which are only liyoyim v'layla. What happens now? All the bliyos are going to go into that spit. And by tomorrow morning, it'll already be noiser, because I can only eat the chatos or the oshim today. And tonight, minatoira until the morning, midrabon until chatzois. But it's going to become noiser tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whenever. Aloysa shachar hamsabi, 5 o'clock, whatever. And therefore, when are you going to bring the next carbon tomorrow? 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And by that time, they're going to have noiser. So what are you telling me that what Rav Nachman said, kol yoim v'yoim nasa gil l'chaveroi, maskim gil l'chaveroi, but here we're talking about noiser b'liois in it, and what's the gil by using the new carbon? Wow. Shkoyach.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Did you
talk to Lomacho? You want to give him a
here. Excuse me, sir.
1 second.
Okay,
how much you want? 2? 5. She very generous.
So this rollover of the Haggalah only works if every new Corbin is within the window of permissible time of the previous Corbin.
Exactly.
Otherwise,
right.
Otherwise you've passed the time period, it's expired.
And you have noiser in it.
Right.
Once you have noiser in it,
it's too late.
Exactly, and they have to do a proper leave in the Chayyar. Yeah.
The last Corbin of the day always will be Shlomim.
Okay, so that's what you're already stealing my steam over here, stealing my lines. But you're stealing mine. So Zok Yomar, it's not Chumot. Since chatzos can only be eaten one day and one night, when you're going to go and cook it today, that chatzos have a noiser. When will it become noiser? When you're going to go and cook on it tomorrow, either shlomim or a chatos, or any carbon for that matter, kapolet noiser the chatos to inna, you can have plitois, meaning the bliois of the chatos of today, of Tuesday, are going to be niflat, they're going to be purged tomorrow. Where are they going to be purged into? Into that chatos and the shlomim de lamacher of tomorrow. And therefore, anybody, any coin that's going to eat now from that chatos or from the shlomim, from the chaz v'shoik, it's going to have those bliois of yesterday's chatos, which have already become noiser. You're right, it's stuck in niflat. But where's the niflat? Not into thin air, into the new carbon. And they're going to be now noiser, bliois in the new carbon. What have you accomplished?
But that is bravato already.
Sorry?
So how much is, you wouldn't say that the shlamim now serves mavato, the blios of the chatas?
It's mavato, but it's also baleya. Meaning that just like any time you go and cook in a non-kosher pot, what's the problem? That the blios inside the pot will come out, they'll be purged and go into whatever you're cooking. Oh, yeah, they have the shisha, but let's assume you don't have shisha. You have shisha, and then you're okay. But even that, you know, you do the chatchila, only do it with the evid. If it turns out that the amount of food is much greater than the blias, but more than 60, then you're right. But that's only with the evid, not the chatchila. But now we're talking about here by these karbanas. So if you brought today korm chatas, which is on a Tuesday, you can eat it maximum today and tonight. If you didn't finish it, it becomes noiser in the morning by Wednesday morning. Regardless of whether you didn't manage to finish the carbon or not, the blias which are inside the spit will certainly become noiser by tomorrow morning. So now, if tomorrow morning they're now noiser blias inside this spit, and I'm going to bring subsequently tomorrow a chata sanosha mishlam, any carbon, they're all going to be bailea.
They're going to be observing noiser.
You're going to be eating now noiser blias inside. See, don't put that.
It's a fine day.
Very fine day.
I'm glad you said it loud and you're not yelling.
Okay. All right, so therefore, aren't we stuck, if we're talking about a chatas today, that we're going to have plitois of former bliois of noiser into the new karbanois? And the Gemara lo itzricha, tchi mevashel ba chatas idna, hodem mevashel ba idna shlomim. This is what Bill already proposed 5 minutes ago, a very fine teretz, even before Shelley Fine walked in. Anyway, the point is, as long as you brought a second carbon on the same day, then you don't have your problem. Meaning, let's say you brought your chatas 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then you brought your shlamim 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So whatever bliois inside the spit as a result of the chatas, had you not brought a new shlamim today, or any carbon today, then by tomorrow morning, you'd have noiser bliois. Ay, 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 that would be terrible. So what does Rav Nachman said? Kol yom v'yom nasi gila chavera. Make sure if you're bringing a chatas today, that the same day you also bring a carbon shlamim l'mashal. Why is that much better? Because now the bliois, or the plitois, whichever way you look at it, of the original chatas are going to go into the shlamim. And the shlamim now are going to kasher them, so to speak, and now you can go and eat that for another day. So it's not going to become nicer in the morning. Rather, you can go and eat it the whole day, as well as the bliois will be kosher bliois from the new karm shlamim. Yeah. Let's just finish the thought, and then I'm sure you're going to have a question. The chatas de lemocher, the chatas that I might bring in tomorrow, now that today is Tuesday, I brought my chatas in the morning, chatas in the early afternoon, and a shlomim following that tomorrow, today, all that was today. Now if I'm going to bring a chatas tomorrow, ushlom de esmoil means the shlom that I'm bringing today, bahadi adodi kosholim zemnayu, both of their zman achila is going to end at the same time, v'od mavash ushlom de lemocher, and then afterwards he's going to go and bring another carbon shlom. The Gemara means to say is, I'm never going to allow for the bliois inside this spit to stay there beyond the new noiser period without having used the spit again for another carbon. So therefore, any bliois that were there previously will now be niflat into the new carbon. So by the time it would normally have become noiser, it won't become noiser anymore because those bliois will already have, in a sense, evaporated, dissipated, whatever you'd like to call it, into the new carbon. So the spit is now kusha v'yusher, nothing to worry about.
But
Well, Shabbos, the Gemara doesn't address that, so you will have to wait for Zvachim.
Radio tag.
Radio tag?
But, radio tag these.
But the obsession is in the new carbon.
That's probably what Barry wants.
No, I want to ask. I have a different.
Okay, so,
but, yeah. So if you took these collate from the yukatas,
right.
So it's not it's not a bottle, is it? Is it? That's what I asked.
No, as the heat as it heats, it absorbs. The old bleos emerge, enter the shlamim, and now you're eating shlamim. Which have bleos of chatos.
Now you get an extension because you get 2 days.
If you tag those molecules,
the shlamim has a longer
life. Permissibility time, right?
Exactly.
So I'm going to eat the shlamim in the permitted time that already absorbed the
bleos from the chatos, yeah, right? From before.
But why is not a problem? Why is that not a problem?
Because it's my question. Because now you have chatos, you have elements of a chatos now mixed with the shlamim. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that now restrict the shlamim to the time period of achila of achatas? Because yeah. Now that's my question. Now you have, for instance,
now you know when he started asking. He said that was your question, right, and you said no, it's a different question.
But also, okay. Kohanim, but also not just the time. But mine's not just the time period. It's yeah. Also can kohanim now, mm-hmm. non kohanim eat from that shlamim, because the shlamim is mutter to the balim, even non kohanim.
That's why you talked about chazav v'shoik. The regular shlum would not be in the Beis Hamikdash, would be eaten in Yerushalayim by the Balam, as you say.
Okay.
The only part of the shlum that would be cooked in the Azor would be only the Chos Kishoik, which is Roif HaKanim. But anyway, let's and finish off these two, three lines, and then we'll get to both of your questions. When you go and cook the chatas today, make sure to go and bring another shlomim to kasher it. Why is that beneficial? The chatas l'macher, if tomorrow you were to go and bring a carbon chatas, and today ushlom the S one, that means a shlomim that you brought the day before, which means today shlomim, both of them, their zman would end at the same time. And tomorrow you'll again bring a carbon shlomim, and therefore you're going to constantly push off these bleois so that they never become noisar. And that's what he wanted to ask. Yehochi agol and nami loy liboy. So now, that's how we finish this shtick of Gemara. When the Gemara says that they are sholem zivnayu at the same time, b'hadi adodi, that's not absolutely accurate, because the karm shlom you can only eat until the end of the second day, while the chatas that you're bringing tomorrow, you can eat not only during the day, but also at night. But what he really means to say is that the noiser element is both are going to only happen later on in the morning, because even by karm shlom that each neyam v'layla echad, while you cannot eat it at night, it doesn't have the status of noiser until the morning. Anyway, but now the question that both of you have asked, what the Gemara is telling us is, by the fact that you are reusing the spit within the kosher period, any bleis that you're getting from the chatos, even though those bleis, had they remained on the spit, would have become noiser in the morning, it now becomes, in a sense, bottled to the new carbon, which is what Brother Shai was suggesting. They become infused in the new carbon, and since the new carbon, we get an extension of time to eat until Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad by the Shlom the next day. Mashen Kein, the Karm Chatas, you would have had to finish the night before. Here you get an extension, so now these bleis are being converted, if you will, from potential noiser bleis into regular kosher kochim bleis, and that's why Rav Nachman said, Kol Yom V'Yom Nasik Yil L'Chaver. That being the case, what is Rav's teretz? Rav's teretz is, by uns in the Mishnah, you have to have a libun, because nothing is removing those bleis except using your blowtorch. However, over there, since you're constantly reusing those same spits, so each time before it has a chance for the bleis to become osur in the form of noiser, guess what? We have refreshened it by using it now with a new cart. Frankly, more, if that's the case, I like the turret so much, but why do you even need Hagala? Because we started off with Tanan Gabi Kochim, Hashbud Vaskala Magilon. So what is this turret? Magil means, because we don't need the Libun, because Kol Yom V'Yom Nasagila Chaveray. So you don't need the Hagala either. Timura Kasha, the good Gefrecht, I have no answer to that Kasha.
Don't leave it idle. Use it as Hagala. There is an answer. Use it as Hagala. By extending pushing away the noser, by using it as a shput for the next day. As Bill says, the problem will become on Erev Shabbos, Yeah. When you run out, you can't do this on Shabbos, you run out of time.
So then at that time, you probably have to do a Liban.
You said to leave it idle, and we're doing a Avodah Zarah.
Yeah. That was wonderful. That was such a good comment. Anyway, but it was Mamish ideal, such a comment. But getting back to our Gemara, so the point of all of this is that on a regular, normal basis, you don't have to worry about your Liban. What happens if, in fact, presumably they had in the Beis HaMikdash 5, 10, 20, 100 of these spits? I have no idea how many they had, but whatever they had. So presumably not every one of them could be reused that day. What happens if it's one of these rainy days where you don't have tons of people coming in with their Kav Shlamims? People are only bringing Chattas for Yashem, then maybe it's rainy or it's snowy and there's no Kabbanis being brought, and that's when you have to go and fill them up from
Kaitz Mizbeach.
Kaitz Mizbeach, exactly right. Kites was back. What carbon was that?
Ola.
An Ola. But you don't need
shpud,
anyway.
No shpud, no grill.
Then you don't have to worry about the grill and the shpud.
But why couldn't you do a shlamim on Friday, and that would take you through Shabbos?
But Shabbos you cannot do it.
Shlamim you have 2 days.
Gesundheit.
You do it Friday, and you have Shabbos.
One
on Sunday,
two days.
But by times, by Sunday morning, it would be nicer.
And what are you going to cook? What are you going to do? Some Motzei Shabbos and grill? And grill the Musaf? Grill the Musaf on Motzei Shabbos is the only thing you can do. It's the only carbon.
What is the Musaf? Is that what carbon is that?
The Musaf is also is
an oil. It's an oil. So all of these are Shabbos. You only bring oilers. You bring the normal Tamei Shulchan and Tamei Shulchan Aboyim, which are oilers, and the two Kabbanis that you bring as Musaf are also oilers. So you're not going to use the grill that day.
I'm thinking of Chatas Hashem. I'm thinking of the Rosh
Chodesh. You're thinking of Rosh Chodesh, right? Exactly. No problem. Everything is fine. Anyway. So that's the teretz. The teretz of Bissel Shver and Kasha. And now we start on a new teretz. Rapapa Omar Hai Korid Hai Loi Korid. What means Korid? Korid means that it dries up and becomes like a crust. Maybe the word Korid and crust may have some similarity. You'll ask Shelley after the shir. I'm sure he'll come up with a very witty connection between the two.
Congeal.
Yeah. So what's shot in Korid over here? Oh, so Barry uses the term congeal. That's a very good term. Since you're constantly using the spits, it doesn't have a chance for the bleois of noiser to get embedded into the spits. All you have to do is hagolim, that's enough, and that'll already rid any potential bleois of iser. Mashenken, your regular spit that you don't use every single day. You use it once a week for a barbecue during the summer or something like that. So since you don't use on a constant basis, it does have an opportunity for the blia to get encrusted, curried into the spit itself. And then if you wanted to spit it out, you're going to have to use proper liban. Oh, so that's a very good teretz. You don't use it every day, you need a liban. If you use it constantly, hagola is enough. We go back to the original teretz that we gave. What was the original teretz? Hachet teirabala, hachet isurabala. Ah, you said a kakashalach to be in the kapolit, isura kapolit. Mazel tov. So originally it was a kosher carbon, but now it's noisar, now it's iser. However, in the kapalit, lo iser li isura be'enei. Nevertheless, you don't have the iser be'en, you only have a blia of that iser. I agree, the bliois inside now happen to be osir. However, they were created from heter, and even now they are not be'en, they're just bliois. So the chum were mekel, they said, no, I bazoi nishke ferlach, you don't need to have a full-blown Liban, even Hagola would be enough.
It's not considered noiser.
It is considered noiser, but it's noiser light. It's not heavy duty noiser. A piece of meat that you haven't eaten within this month, that's heavy duty noiser. But if it's only bleios, no.
You don't eat bleios.
You don't eat bleios, but
they flavor the new korban.
Absolutely.
They don't.
And because it's only the flavor, it's not the eating itself, and therefore they said, you know, so you know, Hagola, you don't have to have Liban. Okay, so until now we spoke about the stira, now we go to the mechanics. That kama melabnon, how far do you have to do your liban? How long do you have to go and do your blowtorch? Chvais for an hour or for a minute? Amremani ad shetosha kliposan, until the klipa that has developed on the spit comes totally off and it's now nice and clean, that the outer peel.
The crust,
yeah, has all been
burned off,
nothing left. That would be a proper liban. The Kates and Magilan, how do you do Hagala? Amravuna, Yerektan, but Achirigdal. Like we do it if a pan or a pot or a cutlery, whatever, you have to put it into a larger pan or pot and immerse it in hot, boiling hot water. Frankly, well, that's very good if you're talking about small stuff. You're a gedolei lamai. What happens if you have this huge chulin pot that you use in a yeshiva or at a wedding, and by accident a little milk spilled in? The whole thing is now treif. What do I do? How are you going to? You know, you can't find a larger pot to put that large pot into. The original pot was for 100 people, 500 people. My, what do you do? Toshimanda, who do the to the mitzaka such a large pot? The havebei of Akavia was in the besmedish of Akavia, the homer of Akavia, and we had this problem. Ahadale gadan for the lisha apuma umaliu amaya the erchasa. What we did was he extended the lip at the very top of the pot. How did he extend it? By putting on a lisha. Lisha means dough from a cake or a bread that he would normally be baking. They put that arum all around the perimeter of the opening of the pot, and they put it up, let's say, an additional half an inch or whatever. Umaliu amaya, and now they filled the whole thing up to the top with water, to the point above the normal water line at the top of the pot. Because of that additional lisha, it now went over. Obviously, it's not going to stop there, because this is not a permanent fix. This is just this temporary lisha around it. So what do you think is going to happen? It's going to boil over. And then you're going to have bubbles and you have spritzing. And as a result, it's going to go over the top. What does the Gemara mean with this? What the Gemara means to say is, whenever you're doing the kashering, you don't have to really kasher. If you're talking about a yoyra gedoyla, you can't immerse it into a larger yoyra. So you don't need to go and do a kashering of the outside. But what you do have to do is kasher wherever it could spritz from inside to the top of the pot. Okay, so even if you go and boil it hot on the water and on over the flame on the stove, and even if it spritzes, but you don't know if it's going to go and spritz on every single square inch or millimeter on the top of the pot, because it doesn't always spritz, right? When you're cooking, sometimes it spritzes, sometimes it doesn't spritz, and you want it now to go and spritz all over, so everything becomes kashered. So that's why by putting up this lisha apuma, the water will now overflow over the top of the pot, and now it's going to be totally a situation of kashering.
How does the dough what does the dough do, actually?
Well, the dough, it gives an extension of the pot.
It retains the boiling water long enough so it can overflow the top of the pot and kasher every surface. Right. So every surface inside has been exposed to boiling hot water, even the very top, because you have a temporary extension.
Yeah. It's not going to last for more than a second or two.
Right.
But at least for that second or two, it'll get it.
It's extended. Good. It's not covered. It goes up. It goes like up. So it goes this,
wine
up
press.
Above
yes,
the
yes.
We obviously weren't putting the wine press into a
bigger.
Right.
And I saw, I think it was Archibald, that said they do Eroy from Kli Rishon as a din. So there, we were made to say by this wine press, Eroy, should we say Eroy here should also be good?
Maybe if you have no choice, maybe.
Exactly.
You have no dough.
No dough. That's great. See your influence, your inspiration.
I feel inspired.
Who is so smart to go and figure out this Eitzah with the Elisha? Rav Akavia, that was Rav Akavia in the Bam Yomar Aleph, the Gav Rabbah, who is a great man. What does that mean? Just like the Blia at the very top of the pot is as a result of Nitzaitzis. Normally, the pot doesn't run over, but you could have some spritzing from time to time that gets to the top of the pot, and that has to be, the bleas there have to be eradicated. So what do you do? By going and putting the water up beyond the pot line, one additional millimeter higher, and now flowing over, so now you're able to go and counteract any of those potential spritzes, because now everything has been covered with the boiling hot water that's gone over. Finally, we had in our Mishnah, Hasakin Shofa Vihi Tohira. The Sakin, you have to go and you have to scald it or scour it, or no, not right. You have to scrape it. Rashi said, what was the scraping against? It was against an Evan Shel Napochim, which means of a blacksmith. And a blacksmith has these fancy stones, and you, even today, a lot of people try to sharpen old knives. I don't know if it really works well or not, but they use it against a stone to go and get off and the shamnunis, as well as to go and resharpen it. Oh, so that's the sharpening against that stone. So here's the machloikas rishonim, What is this Noyatza? According to Rashi, in addition to the sharpening against a stone, you also have to go and stick it into the ground 10 times. It's got to be talking about virgin territory where it's difficult to put the sakin in 10 times, and each time it also continues to scrape and remove any shamnunis, any type of outside impurities, whatever, and gets it all eradicated. Others disagree with Rashi and say not that you have to have both, but you have either or. Either you do the sharpening against the stone, or you put it 10 times into the karka.
Same spot or different fertile karka?
Presumably you move it over, but See, we're talking about a normal, regular sakin that doesn't have holes in it. None of there's any clefts.
It's not serrated?
I don't know about serrated. It could be it's even referring to even a serrated knife, just as long as it doesn't have any cuts or clefts or cracks.
An
epigemus. Because it has an epigemus, I'm afraid that those, the shamnunis, whatever. Exactly. And even with the banging back and forth, the digging back and forth, it won't come out. And by the way, this is only talking about removing any problems in a knife that was only used for cold, a knife that was used for hot. In other words, if you had a goy use this knife to go and cut hot meat, lemoshel, so now it has in it blioys of tarfus, it's not enough to go and just do the sharpening and putting it into the ground, then you have to have a proper hagola. All of this that we're talking about, that was only used kaltahait, it was only used for tzoinen.
Not the view. Just wash it with good tzayafa, it should be enough, tzoinen.
And apparently you have to have this in addition.
Well, we have those kankanim and other things.
This is a knife.
Is different.
Sharp.
Yeah, it's sharp, and we're afraid to talk with it, especially if it's serrated, that things can go and get into...
There's a sharp edge.
Sharp by if you sharpen snow or something. We don't say sharp with the knife.
That's a different story. Yeah, that's not our Gemara. What you're talking about is that even if it's totally... Cold. Let's say if a totally cold treif fork or a totally cold treif spoon, Avada don't use l'chatchila. But b'diavad, if he used it, you're not concerned. Mash enken, if you're talking about a knife, then you are concerned because if you cut with it, for instance, pickles or
onions,
lemons,
onions
exactly, right. Then you could have you can have problems.
The pressure of the knife also can come fully.
Okay, so the pressure you probably... Okay, now you're talking about halachic matters.
But in general, I don't think we say that the knife has to be put in the ground. If you cut it cold,
okay.
Slice some cheese.
Please consult your competent Orthodox rabbi, halacha l'maaseh. A lot of people have the minig that they go and stick it into the ground and leave it overnight. That's an alta minig, but l'maaseh, that's not l'halacha. Presumably the reason why they leave it at night, so you should also have the benefit it's no longer ben yoima if you use it that day, so that you're over onto the next day. But you still have to do the 10 times, even if you leave it in the ground overnight. Tanam yachin takarai to this price, a sakin yofish ein bagumais, oh, beautiful knife. Noyotza sorpam bekarka, and then your kusher, and according to Rashi, you still have to do the shofa, scraping against the stone. Amravuna brim yeshua, lechel boy tsoinen. Like we said before, only if you're eating something cold. If you're eating something hot, you still have to go and do proper hagol. Kihoda Mar Yehuda Ubati Bartuvi. Now the Gemara tells us a fascinating story. Mar Yehuda and Bati Bartuvi were invited to eat at the home of Shavu Malka, who is the king. Havi Yasvi Kame the Shavu Malka, Shavu the king. He was not a Jewish king, Rashi says. He was a non-Jewish king. Of the Gemara is referring to Shmuel, yeah, but that's an argument, not here. Aisel the Kamay Esroig, they brought an Esroig in front of him to eat, not to go and shock a little of an Esroig. Posak, he cut into the Esroig, Ochal, and he ate a piece of the Esroig which he had cut. No problem, he's a goy, he can do whatever he wants. He probably didn't even make a brucha, can you imagine? And Posak, he then cut another slice for Havle the Bati Bartuvi, and he gave it to Bati Bartuvi to eat. Now, Mar Yehuda is on the other side. He knew this Gemara, and he took the knife and he put it into the ground 10 times. After that, now he cut another piece of esrog and he gave it to Mar Yehuda to eat. Why did he do it for Mar Yehuda? Because he knew Mar Yehuda is an Erlich Yid, and therefore he's not going to go and eat from a non-kosher knife unless you kosher it, and that's why he put it into the ground 10 times. Who do you think was offended?
Bati Bartuvi.
What about me? Why didn't you do the 10 times for me too? So you'll see a very interesting answer. I know about Mar Yehuda that he has a reputation of being mamish and machmir and being a medaktik b'mitzvahs, a very frum erlich person. Unfortunately, I didn't know anything about you. You didn't leave that impression with me that you are as religious as Mar Yehuda, and therefore I figured, yeah, you're not going to care, blah, 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 blah. However, Ikriyami, there's another pshat. Omale idker my avdis ba'arta. Remember what happened last night. Now, what does that mean, what happened last night? So look at the last Rashi. The Rashi is fascinating, also troubling in this case. My avdis ba'arta, derech Parsiyim, he was the Melech Paras, our friend Shover Malka, head of Persia, modern-day Iran. The derech was limser noshim la'achsenoim, that besides giving them food to eat, they would also give them an escort, they would give them women. What do you think the women did? They didn't say tzener ena the whole night and say tilim the whole night. They engaged in other situations. Okay. Ukishishigran lehem balayla sh'ovar, when we sent these two to Mar Yehuda and Bati Bartuvi, Kibul Bati said, sure, I'm going to go be Makar v'choikim and do whatever I can. Rav Yehuda like Kibul, Rav Yehuda did not. So therefore I saw Rav Yehuda, he's a real McCoy, he's a real, and that's why he made it in the Nitzah. I said, Bati is a bissel shvach. So now it looks very poor, this Bati Bartuvi. What's going on? So the boy said, before you all get agitated and upset, you look at the last choices over here. Idkar ma di avdes ba'arta, pirusha kuntres, Rashi, shigil hem shtei shvachos. Rav Yehuda loy kibla, ubati kibla. Now, says choices. Venira, the loy chata bazeh, Bati did not do a chait. Why? Shadayin hoye eved ktsas. He was still ashtikla eved. Shemu'ukiv get shichrur, kin amrinin perik asuri yochsin, Bati Bartuvi beromis ruchei, Bati Bartuvi, who was somewhat arrogant, loy shokel get to the cherusi, he said to his old owner, bah, I've already been megayir, I did what I need to do, I don't need the shtar shichrur, the shtar shichrur of gears. However, that's not the halach is he does need that shtar shichrur after all. So therefore, he is halachically still an Eved Knani. He's not a Yid yet. An Eved Knani is Mutter B'Shivcha, and therefore he'll be able to live, presumably, with this woman, and therefore he didn't do anything wrong. And that's why he's saying, what are you screaming at me and you're giving me this tray for knife? Well, you think I'm a nobody? I'm chopped liver.
He still has Mrs. Keisha.
And therefore?
And that's his little sasa to eat.
And that's why he's upset at him. That's the only Bati Batuvi. So don't have at least a Mrs. Keisha that I have to have a kosher knife. What did you do? So even though Shover Malka made a cheshbon figuring, oh, he took that escort at night, but he didn't realize he still had the halacha of an Eved Kanani, and therefore there was no problem, like Toysi says.
And the first one, what did he do with the women? He didn't, all of them. He participated in dispersion of the woman.
Dispersion, okay, or purging, right?
No, dispersion.
Dispersion, oh, because it was a Persian. Oh, that was beautiful. Kibaltik. Okay, so with this we have, Baruch Hashem, concluded the Masechta. For those of you listening on the tape, we're going to turn the tape off and get back shortly for